Please join me in prayer. God, your word goes out and does not return empty, but prospers that for which it was sent. By your Spirit, open our minds to your word this day, that we might walk according to your ways, for the sake of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Listen now to a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Our second reading comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 17 through 28. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Now, if we are and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself may be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know that we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. This is the word of God for the people of God. So all through the month of January and February, we are going to be... I'm doing great. We weren't singing a hymn. That's right, we're doing it a little later here. Normally we sing a hymn right there, and I'm used to doing that. So we're going to be looking at a series of what is called half-truths that are often said by Christians. These particular half-truths are coming from a book by Adam Hamilton, which I talked to you about earlier, called Half-Truths, God Helps Those Who Help Themselves, and Other Things the Bible Doesn't Say. And each week we're going to explore one of these half-truths, and we'll try to find the truth in it, but as well explore what may not be so true about it. Now, before we go further, though, I want to say that the goal of this series is not to offend anyone. Chances are, many of us, including myself, have said one or more of these half-truths at some point in our lives. And I know that when we've said these things, we mean well. So I'm not saying that if you said one of these things, you're a bad person. I want you all to remember that. None of you are bad people because you said everything happens for a reason. Not by any means. But it's important for us to talk about these half-truths, even if it makes us a little defensive or uncomfortable. And if you don't feel a little, if you start to feel a little unsettled as we talk about them, it's okay. Because I promise we're going to get through this stuff together, and we're going to find what God is speaking to us. And so why is it important to talk about them? It's important, why is it important to label these things as half-truths? Things like everything happens for a reason, or God helps those who help themselves, or love the sinner and hate the sin. It's important because with our best intentions, saying these things can be potentially hurtful to people. It can be harmful. And it can wound people in their hour of need and turn people away from God and Christ. So we'll be looking at these half-truths for the truth that is there and the truth that isn't. And we'll be asking the questions of how true they are and how indeed Christian they are. So let us pray as we begin our first one. Gracious God, we thank you for bringing us together today. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the words that are coming out of my mouth, that they may be pleasing to you, and that in it we may see your glory, your love, and your grace for each and every one of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as a kid, I did not like going to the grocery store unless there was some kind of promise at the end of, you know, one of my favorite candies, preferably Reese's Cups or Sour Patch Kids. And I didn't like it, but we would have to go because my mom needed to go grocery shopping, so we'd go. But one of the things that did interest me when we were getting to the checkout line was some of the magazines that were at the checkout line there that we still have a lot of there. You know, some of the celebrity gossip and all that kind of stuff. The thing that interested me, though, was the World Weekly News. Do any of y'all remember the World Weekly News? Oh, Cecil, what was the World Weekly News?
They found a World War II bomber on the moon.
Or y'all might remember the classic cover, Bat Boy found.
Alien Bill Clinton.
Yeah, they did a lot of aliens. There was a lot of aliens. There was a lot of there was three favorite things: Elvis, aliens, and Bigfoot. The holy trinity of the whole World Weekly News. And it was great because underneath it said the world's most reliable newspaper. And some of the headlines I looked up today were Mermaid Cemetery Discovered, Abraham Lincoln Was Really a Woman. I was thinking about Lorraine on that one because she's a big Abraham Lincoln fan. And Farmer Shoots 23-pound Grasshopper. And its covers were full of these obviously photoshopped images of all these things. There was one where Hillary Clinton was having an affair with an alien. That was one of the funny ones too. It was clearly fictional news intended to be funny. But as a young child, I looked at it and thought, what? They found a World War II bomber on the moon? You know, and it taps into this conspiracy section of our brains that we want to believe some of this stuff is true. And it was so fascinating to me. Now, these days, some of our feeds on Facebook start to look as crazy as these weekly world news headlines. We're living in a golden age of conspiracy theories. Out in every news story comes a person spinning some wild conspiracy theory about what really happened that the mainstream media will not report. This is what's really happening. Between 9/11 truthers, Pizzagate, people believing that the government can create hurricanes in the Atlantic, what they call false flag events put on the government to take away our rights. You name an event, somebody has created a conspiracy theory about it. The crazy, y'all heard about the lizard people, the conspiracy? Oh, that's a great one, where all the world leaders are actually giant lizards. I don't know where we're going with that one, but people believe it. Now, the left and right are guilty of this as well, and I get it.
I have gone down that rabbit hole before where I have dived into these complicated, very complex, putting these details together that you would never put together, and you think, oh yeah, maybe there's some truth. Yeah, that's what's really going on behind that. Yeah. But what really, in the end, these conspiracy theories are trying to accomplish is to bring sense to the senselessness of our world. Terrible things happen all the time. Tragic things. Things we don't understand. And our minds desperately want to make the connections. We want to figure out why somebody would do this. Why does this happen? What's behind it? And so we feel better when we can come up with a story that explains everything, that makes sense of the senselessness, even if it exaggerates the truth or makes stuff up completely. At least we have something to go back to and say, that's the truth. Now, when I think about the phrase that I have heard and probably many of you have said and I have said, everything happens for a reason, I start to feel like this is Christianity's ultimate conspiracy theory about God. The phrase presupposes that God is pulling the strings on everything that has ever happened in our world, good and bad, to ultimately bring about God's kingdom in the world. Everything is connected and part of God's plan, even to what you had for breakfast this morning. I had sausage and spinach for breakfast this morning. That was part of God's plan. Everything happens for a reason. Now, most often you hear this phrase when people are struggling or suffering from some hardship, right? A loss of a job, the death of a loved one, tragic accident, a diagnosis. Anytime we wrestle with why is this happening in our lives, and we say to people, everything happens for a reason, in hopes that the hurting person will place their suffering in a larger context and say, hey, this may be what's going on now, but later on, God's going to do something great out of this. Now, sometimes that works, right? I remember, Ann and I, we were talking in our Sunday school class this morning. I remember when I came out for my first job. Oh, God, woe was gray. Oh, I was so pathetic. I thought, oh, well, this is it. I'm quitting the ministry. I can't do this job. It's over, you know? But then the job that I was supposed to have did come around. And so I thought, well, maybe I wasn't supposed to get that job. Maybe God was preparing something else for me. And it works in that scenario when you say everything happens for a reason, right? Because it's like, it worked out. It worked out. But sometimes stuff happens, and it never makes sense. Ever. Ever. And maybe 20 years later, you go, there was nothing good that came out of that. There was no joy. There was no redemption. It's still painful. A loved one dies. You still feel that pain in your heart on a regular basis. And you think, what's going on? Why did this happen? And if you have heard this phrase when you're suffering, you know how insensitive and painful it can be. God wants me to suffer this way on purpose? This mess is part of God's plan? What does that say about God? Now, this is where the half-truth comes. Because it is true that God can take the messes we make or we find ourselves in and turn them into opportunities for resurrection, right? I did a funeral at my last church for a guy who started an AA group in the community that I was serving. And at his funeral, I probably had 10 people come up to me and say, this guy saved my life.
Now, it wasn't this guy, but it was the AA group that he started there. But the idea was that this person starting this group and helping these people help transform folks from addict to mentor to other addicts. Resurrected these people's lives, completely broken. They lost all hope and found healing, love, and grace in this community. We all probably have heard similar stories about people who have transformed their lives, who have experienced resurrection out of brokenness, right? I affirm that God can take our bad choices, our brokenness, tragedy, and shape it into new life. I affirm that each and every day of my life. And it's affirmed in Scripture, and it's still happening today. But the idea that everything that ever has happened, that God can complete God's plan, that God does it to complete God's plan of salvation, I don't necessarily believe that. It's not to say that God can't cause things to happen and God doesn't cause things to happen. I just don't feel and don't read in Scripture that that is what Scripture is telling us. I don't think God is pulling the strings, creating more and more brokenness in our lives. I don't believe that car accidents, child abuse, hurricanes, cancer, terrorism, poverty, religious violence, sexual misconduct all happen for a reason. Now, Adam Hamilton in his book makes the case that God has given us the freedom to make choices. As I said to the kids earlier, we're not pre-programmed robots. Our reading from Deuteronomy makes this clear. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Our choices, good or bad, have consequences. This free will may be limited, right? We may not have a full scope of choices on everything because of where we grew up, when we were born, the genes that we were given, but we still have agency. We still have the choice to walk the path of God laid out in Scripture or to walk the path of sin, brokenness, and death. As a result of our free will, our world is broken, and there is no question in my mind that that is the case, right? That we live in a world that has been broken, that is broken, that's full of disease, death, pain, war. These are realities that we live with, that are our companions. We know they're going to be with us. And sometimes that brokenness is senseless, right? But sometimes it's our own fault. So even though we have free will, God has not left us to stew in our own sin. God is at work bringing healing and new life to the brokenness that we're in. God walks with us. God asks us to walk with others, even and especially in the midst of their bad choices and sin, because God does the same for us. Now, Paul makes that clear in his letter to the Romans. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, interceding to God on our behalf. So does God have the ultimate conspiracy theory that links everything that has ever happened to bring about the salvation of the world? No. We know from Scripture and our lives that God does not script out everything. But God does have a plan. God has a plan for us. God has a plan for this church and for individuals. And that plan is to love us and be with us no matter what. That's the plan. That's what God seeks out in the midst of brokenness, to love and to show you love and to put people around you who love you, to show you that love no matter what. And this promise is repeated over and over again in Scripture, but particularly in Christ. Christ's life, Christ's death, and Christ's resurrection. That God took the worst that we could give to Christ and said, "No, I still love you." God is not micromanaging our lives. God is bringing us together as community, stitching us together with love, so that whatever this world throws our way, whatever brokenness we encounter, whatever tragedies happen, we know that God is with us and that God loves us even to the very end and beyond our death. And that is a promise we can live on. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.